Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise and go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you say. Arise, take your flocks and your herds, as he has said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We shall all be dead." So the people took their dough before it was leaven, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. And now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses. And they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus, they plundered the Egyptians. They plundered the Egyptians. And this is a fulfillment of what God has spoken earlier to Abraham. And look over at chapter 3 of Exodus. When Moses first met God in the burning bush, God also said the same thing in verse 21 and 22. Before it happened, he spoke it. "And I," Exodus chapter 3 verse 21, 22, "and I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go, it shall be when you go, that you shall not go empty handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians." He said that in fulfillment of his promise. Now it looks as if it's not fair, but in God's justice it is fair, because the Israelites had worked as slaves and they were not paid for a whole generation. And they received all their pay one day. Did they have a right? I analyzed, they had a right. They were working without pay day and night. The moment Joseph died, the next Pharaoh who came did not know Joseph, put them all as slaves, and they work for nothing. It seems that it's for nothing. But remember, even if it looks like you work for nothing, but you're righteous, you follow God, you did everything right, there's a payday someday. God will do it. Look at Joseph. Wasn't he hardworking? He lost, quote unquote, lost everything when Potiphar's wife framed him up. He had nothing. But he deserved the blessing. He was framed up because he was righteous. God never forgot it. In the eyes of the world, he lost. But there's a payday someday. And the more it's delayed, the faster it's going to come at one time. The waterfall pressure is building up. Just keep obeying God. Just keep sowing. And it will just have the floodgates of blessing pouring on you. Now here's a prophecy that we want to take note of in the book of Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And it's a dual prophecy. It's applicable directly to the Israelites. But every promise to the Israelites is in type fulfilled in the church. So in Isaiah chapter 60 it says, it's one of the most beautiful scriptures, and I like this chapter. It says, "Arise and shine, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." In other words, Paul's prophecy, in the last days, evil shall abound, as darkness abounds, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see, they all gather together. They come to you. Your sons and daughters shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed or at your side. Now, some of these prophecies refer directly to Israel, the restoration of Israel. And even natural Israel today has not received the fullness of these words. It is coming, but they have not got its fullness yet. Verse 5. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your hearts shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. Now all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Look at verse 11. Therefore your gates shall be continually open, shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles, and their kings in procession. For the nation and kingdom which will not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly ruined. God's gonna bring the wealth of the Gentiles. What happened to the Israelites in type when Moses brought them out is a typology of what's gonna happen in the church realm. It's powerful, some of the promises that God speaks about. And in case we don't believe that it's really ours, continue reading chapter 61. Verse 1 is definitely ours. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus quoted this in Luke chapter 4, verse 19. Read on, verse 4. Isaiah 61, verse 4. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities and the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Directly it applied to Israel, but spiritually to the Israelite, to the church. Dual fulfillment, Israel and the church. Verse 6. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. You should be convinced fully that prosperity is God's will for His people. Now we understand the other side of the coin. The other side of the coin is 1 Timothy chapter 6. The love of money is the root of all evil. And those who desire to be rich hurt themselves with many snares. That's the other side of the coin. That is why 3 John is the one book that balances prosperity and shows us the blessings that God has in our days. Looking at 3 John, we see its eschatological place. Knowing that the church will receive the wealth of the Gentiles in the last days, John tells us how to receive it. From verse 1 to 4. Where to concentrate? See, most people concentrate on the wrong thing. They concentrate on the natural realm. But John tells us, concentrate on your soul. Those in the world who desire to be rich concentrate only on the natural, and they get hurt. The love of money creeps into them. And prosperity is a message that is abused often, because in the natural, unredeemed man wants to prosper. But they forget that the prosperity God speaks about is of a different nature. And yet it's important. Luke 16, we talk about how Jesus talks about how unless a man can handle mammon, he cannot handle the things of God. He who is faithful in little shall also be faithful in much. He who is faithful in little shall be faithful in much. If you want to know what a person is like, look at how they handle money. We have said that before the last week. Because that's how a person is reflected in the eyes of God. We cannot serve God and mammon. Our loyalty must be either to God or to money. But when you love God with all your heart, mind and soul, when you seek first the kingdom of God, Luke 6 verse 33, all these things will be added to you. For us, prosperity is an addition that God placed because our heart seeks God. And John talks about the addition that God will put on the church in the last days. Oh, beloved Gaius. Gaius represents every believer. If you want to prosper in these last days, learn the secret. You can never prosper beyond the prosperity in your soul. So start getting the depression out of your life. Because poverty follows depression. Start getting all those negative things and unbiblical thoughts out of your mind. Because poverty follows them. If you want prosperity, change your heart, change your mind. Change your emotions, bend your will to God. Let's look on in verse 3 to 8. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers, and have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey, the sending these people are those brethren who are going forth in the gospel. What's the purpose of prosperity in the last days? To bring the gospel to every land and nation. To let the word of God go forth. That's the purpose. He begins to reveal. It's to send. To have is to send. The reason God brings it into our hands is so that we could send it. We could send. We could use it for the gospel's sake. Because they went forth, in verse 7, for His name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. And that's an important point. The goal is to be able to be self-supported in the church. So that we could go to the unbelievers and say, look, this gospel is free to you. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's the goal. That should be the goal of every minister. That they will understand the principles of prosperity so much they could go forth and say, praise God, I've come to just bless. Like Paul, we desire to give. And not just to receive. And there's a kind of special, what I call joy and experience in doing that. And Paul, when he went forth with the gospel, went forth to give. And as the book of 3 John speaks about the perfect church, and to show how every church also grows into a perfect man. See, every church, when it grows, there's a point when it looks inward to the needs. But you reach a point where you begin to look outwards. The church in Antioch is a typical example. Look at the book of Acts 11. Here's the church in Antioch growing to be a perfect man. In Acts 11, the church of Antioch was established. In verse 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. And verse 26, and when he had found Paul, that is Barnabas had found Paul, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So the church in Antioch took off and grew. And as the church grew, God sent prophets to the church. The prophets came from Jerusalem.